The following audio is from Downtown Church, a kingdom-focused, gospel-centered, multi-ethnic, multi-class ministry in Memphis, Tennessee. For more information, visit downtownchurch.com.
Good morning. Today's scripture reading is found in Acts chapter 19, verses 8 through 20. And he entered the synagogue and for 3 months spoke boldly, reasoning and persuading them about the kingdom of God. But when some became stubborn and continued in unbelief, speaking evil of the way before the congregation, he withdrew from them and took the disciples with him, reasoning daily in the hall of Tyrannus. This continued for 2 years, so that all the residents of Asia heard the word of the Lord, both Jews and Greeks. And God was doing extraordinary miracles by the hands of Paul, so that even handkerchiefs or aprons that had touched his skin were carried away to the sick, and their diseases left them, and the evil spirits came out of them. Then some of the itinerant Jewish exorcists undertook to invoke the name of the Lord Jesus over those who had evil spirits, saying, I adjure you by the Jesus whom Paul proclaims. 7 sons of a Jewish high priest named Siva were doing this. But the evil spirit answered them, Jesus I know, and Paul I recognize, but who are you? And the man in whom was the evil spirit leaped on them, mastered all of them, and overpowered them, so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded. And this became known to all the residents of Ephesus, both Jews and Greeks. And fear fell upon them all, and the name of the Lord Jesus was extolled. Also, many of those who were now believers came, confessing and divulging their practices. And a number of those who had practiced magic arts brought their books together and burned them in the sight of all. And they counted the value of them and found it came to 50,000 pieces of silver. So the word of the Lord continued to increase and prevail mightily. The word of God for the people of God.
Amen. Amen. Y'all got to give me a second. It's almost a cruel act to go from worshiping like that and then being forced to come up here and preach right after that. Feel like I still got to get myself together. Because we just sung the lyrics. He's the only one who's worthy of all of our praise, our trust for who he is. And I was just sitting right there thinking about just who God has been to me. God is a faithful God. As we said last week, he's a living God. He's a merciful God. He's a keeping God. Out of everything I've been through, out of all the things I've done, God is a keeping God. And I'm excited to share the good news with you this morning. So before diving into the text, will you just bow for a quick word of prayer? with me as I ask God to prepare our hearts and minds to hear his word. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you. And we sing of your greatness. All of creation was made by your hands. The air that we are able to breathe and even say the words that we have the ability to even speak words because of the breath that you have placed in our lungs. Every breath is a gift from you. Every breath is a reminder of your grace, your mercy, and your goodness. So for that, Lord, we just say thank you. And Jesus, as we just heard your word read, it said that all of the people extolled the name of the Lord. And that's my simple request right now as I stand here to preach, that we don't leave here with our eyes on ourselves or our eyes on our problems or our eyes on our burdens, but we leave here with our eyes set on you, that you may be lifted up in this place. I pray this and ask this in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. I want to talk this morning about the power of God's word. The power of God's words. Words have power. Words, in fact, have a significant amount of power. I don't think anyone here can argue that. In fact, words have more power than we often realize or give credit to. Me and my grandfather, we have laughed and reconciled from this moment, but me and my grandfather did not talk for 2 years because the power of words. As a little child, I was a WWE wrestling fan. I was The Rock's protege in training, and I never missed WWE SmackDown every Monday night. Every Monday night, you was going to catch Lil Sergi in front of the TV watching wrestling, doing all of the moves, jumping on the couch, doing all types of crazy stuff. But this one particular Monday night, I had to get dropped off at my grandfather's house for him to watch me. But it was Monday night. So when he got off work and wanted to decompress, there was a little energetic Energizer Bunny in his living room watching wrestling. And my granddaddy decided to watch with me. He sat down, still trying to decompress from his long day at work. And I remember just being like, "Granddaddy, ooh, Jeff Hardy. I love Jeff Hardy. Ooh, which one do you love? Granddaddy, who's your favorite wrestler?" And my granddaddy said, "Do you know how to shut up?" And I said, "Yes, of course I do." He said, "Then shut up then." And Lil Sergi got up and walked out the room, heartbroken and crushed. And I didn't talk to my granddaddy for 2 years. I remember. Because words have power. "I am a man" is the famous slogan used on the 1968 sanitation strike, where over 1,300 black sanitation workers refused to work until their demands were met. And these black workers were forced to work in dangerous conditions under little pay, and these black workers were paid less than their co-white co-workers. And after two men, Echo Cole and Robert Walker, were crushed to death by a garbage truck, a strike and a protest formed with the main slogan being, "I am a man." And the power of these words declared more than their apparent gender, but declared their deserving of dignity and equality and respect. And after some time of this protest, these men and the city came to an agreement, because words have power. Words have the power to destroy and hurt, and also the power to give life and transform. Words have power. And if anyone should know and believe that words have power, it should be Christians. It should be the church, because in fact, God's word has always been God's tool of choice to accomplish his will and plan. On the first page of the Bible, we see God speak, God spoke, and whatever God said came to be. God used the power of his words to create a world. And just a cap, And then just a couple chapters later, we see God speak again through the power of his words to a man named Abraham. And now God is using his words to call and create a people to himself. God speaks. But not only does God speak, but then God began to exercise his power of words through prophets. And these prophets spoke the words of God, accomplishing God's plan. Jonah spoke words of destruction to Nineveh that led all of the people to repent. And Isaiah spoke the words of God, telling us of the coming Savior who would be born of a virgin, but who would be crushed because of our sins. And now in John chapter 1, we see those powerful words. The word became flesh. In the beginning was the word, and the word was God, and the word was with God, and the word became flesh and dwelt among men, that whoever receives him and believes in him can be saved. And we just celebrated last week the fact that God became flesh and died on the cross for the cleansing and forgiveness of our sin, and he rose from the dead, securing hope and everlasting life. God's word is his tool to accomplish his plan and will. But Jesus got up from the grave. But then Jesus ascended into heaven. So now, how is God going to speak? And the short answer this morning is that God not only speaks through the Old Testament prophets or through Jesus in the flesh, but God chooses to speak today through his church. God's plan is 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, says that God is patient, desiring all to be saved, desiring that no one should perish. And Jesus tells us that he came on earth to bring the kingdom of God, and his desire and plan is for everyone to accept the free invitation to attend the eternal feast and enter into the kingdom of God. And Jesus said in John chapter 10, verse 10, that I have come that you may have abundant life. This is my plan for your life. And he said in John 17, 3, that to know God is to have eternal life. So God's plan that he is working to accomplish is to reconcile mankind, this world, back to himself through the power of God and his word. Jesus speaks to us now through his word, and God speaks as well through his church. And this is, as we come to Acts 19 this morning, it's actually on the screen that we are starting our series in Ephesians. You may be wondering, I thought we were starting Ephesians. Why are we in Acts? And we're actually reading Acts this morning because this is where Paul spoke to the church in Ephesus, and this is where we see the church in Ephesus started. So before we hop walking through the book of Ephesians, we wanted to even give a foundation and tell the story of how the church in Ephesus was created. And if you haven't caught on by now, I want us to know before I sit down is that God's word has the power to transform our lives, our cities, and this world. So Paul is walking in Ephesus. Verse 1 actually tells us that he went to Ephesus. And Ephesus was the place to be during this time. Like most American cities, or like an America destination city, like Las Vegas and Los Angeles are the cities that people want to go to and experience life. Ephesus is that place. Rome is the empire that's in power at this time. And Ephesus is actually the third largest city in the Roman Empire, consisting of 250,000 people. Ephesus was a very diverse place. It had people from all different ethnic groups. They had people coming in from the port because it was right on the port. So you got people always coming in looking to trade, looking to make money, looking to make profit in this city. So I can only imagine the type of good food that they had here, the type of culture that was rich in this place. But it's also important for our time this morning to know that Ephesus was famous for the temple of Artemis. Artemis was this goddess who everyone came from all over to worship. Artemis might mean absolutely nothing to us today, but back then, Artemis was one of the main gods and religions that people traveled to her temple to worship. Ephesus was a city full of magic and sorcery. And before we hop into today's text, I want us to not be afraid of evil spirits or magic, but I want us to recognize its place in this world. The Bible doesn't hide the fact that there are other spirits that have the ability to influence and manipulate people in this world. The Bible even tells us to stay away from those spirits because you do not know the evil that you are unlocking upon yourself. And Ephesus is a place where everyone where doing magic tricks and seeing evil spirits was a norm. And the text in verse 1 says that Paul arrived in this city to bring the word of the Lord. So he goes to the synagogue, the Jewish religious house, and it says for 3 months he boldly reasoned and persuaded with these people regarding the kingdom of God. For 3 months. But when some became stubborn and continued in unbelief, speaking evil of the way before the congregation, he withdrew for them, took the disciples with him, reasoning daily in the hall of Tyrannus. This continued for 2 years so that all the residents of Asia heard the word of the Lord, both Jews and Greek. So Paul goes to Ephesus, goes to the synagogue, and begins to give them the living word of the Lord. But unfortunately for them, the leaders there were stubborn and reject the word. So Paul leaves and takes his disciples that he made there and began to teach in Tyrannus. And after 2 years, the Bible says that I don't know what other synonym I can put here, everybody in Asia heard the word of the Lord. And this leads to our first takeaway this morning, and that simply is God uses submitted hands to accomplish his plans. God uses submitted hands to accomplish his plan. Paul is a submitted vessel to God. Paul wrote in Philippians chapter 1, he says that for me to live is Christ, that my very essence in being alive is to be submitted to Christ. He said in Galatians chapter 2 that I have been crucified with Christ and I no longer live, but this life I live in the flesh, I live by faith in God. Paul is determined to live a life submitted to the will of God. And more than just preaching his word, something spectacular happens. Verse chapter 11 says that God began to do extraordinary miracles through the hands of Paul. That if a handkerchief touched Paul's skin, people could take a handkerchief and go and heal people from their diseases. They said that Paul was cooking in the kitchen and he took off his apron and people could take his apron and go and remove evil spirits and heal diseases. But I want us to not be impressed by Paul right here. I want us to not hear this verse and be like, oh, for me to be a good Christian, I got to get some extra power in myself to perform these miracles. No, I love the fact that it said God began to do extraordinary miracles through Paul. See, God is doing extraordinary miracles not to give Paul a platform, but for us to look at God. God is doing extraordinary miracles through Paul so people cannot be impressed with Paul, but so that people can hear the word that Paul is proclaiming and look to Jesus. And this is a word for us today as well. That God actually wants to do extraordinary things through you, his children. God actually wants to use you to accomplish his will and plan. But first, we actually have to be submitted to live for God, to be a vessel, to be used by God. But not only that, we can't want God to use us so that people could look to us and magnify us, or so that we could build our platform. A couple years ago, when I was first starting in ministry, when I didn't have a job and I was working all these part-time jobs and trying to make ends meet, and I began to see all of these itinerary preachers get all these preaching gigs, and I started to see, y'all making a decent amount of money doing this. And I remember talking to somebody, and they said, man, what you got to do is you got to make your own website. And I said, oh, that sounds good. So I went home that night. I got my notepad out, and I started thinking about SirGregoryThornton.com. And I was thinking about, like, what's my bio going to be? And it's going to be motivational, inspirational, excelente. I don't know, just like just all these synonyms, all these adjectives to build myself up. And I actually even talked to a friend who was going to make the website for me for free. This friend was very supportive, and they began to give me all these ideas about, man, Sir G, we're going to brand you. We're going to make you big. And I got to a point one day, and I was like, why am I doing this? I don't want a SirG.com website for people to look at me, and when you click on it, the first person you see is a great headshot of me standing there. God did not call me to this ministry. God did not call me to preach his word so that you can be impressed with me. God called me to preach his word so that all of us can look to him and give him the glory, the honor, and the praise. And I have to confess, this is even a danger that I have to continue to pray and confess and repent that, God, it does feel good to get accolades and the gratitude and all that stuff. But I have to say every time, every morning, God, it's about you. And this is how we are to live our lives. You want to be used by God? My first question is, why? Do you want to get more praise? Do you want people to see you? Do you want people to like you? Or do you want to see God's name exalted? And God was able to use Paul in extraordinary ways, not because Paul is so special, but because Paul said, for me to live is Christ. Everything I do is for you. But before I move on, I want us to see, and we need to learn from the ways that Paul actually proclaimed the word. Verse 9 says that he reasoned and persuaded. No, verse 8 says that for 3 months, Paul spoke boldly, and he reasoned and persuaded them. And verse 9 says he reasoned daily at the hall. So I want us to see 4 characteristics that teach us how to proclaim the word of God. The first one is boldly. It says that he showed up to Ephesus and he was bold. He confronted the opposition to the gospel, to the truth, boldly. But I want us to know that boldness does not mean rudeness. Being bold does not mean you can't be gentle at the same time. It's actually bold when you step into a person's face and says, hey, when you did this, it hurt me. That's boldness, right? So we can be bold. We can stand on God's truth without being rude and talking down to other people, if y'all get what I'm trying to say. The second characteristic that we see is that Paul reasoned. That word here in the Greek is where we actually get the English word dialogue from. And it actually means to have a conversation with. So Paul is reasoning. He's having a conversation. He's dialoguing with people, which means he's in a relationship with people to even be able to have this conversation in the first place. That Paul is reasoning with them, meaning that he's actually having a back and forth conversation, meaning he's able to listen. He has the humility to listen. And now I know all of us here, we all are guilty of getting into it with somebody and they talking and we already know what we gonna say back. And and the other person and is explaining their side, and you looking at them like, I don't, like, I already know how I'm about to win this argument. That's not reasoning. That's not listening. And Paul was able to proclaim the word of truth by listening to people, even who rejected him. Thirdly, Paul was persuasive in his speech. He had winning arguments. And this is what I love about the Christian faith, is that we don't just have a illogical faith that says believe for the sake of believing, but we actually have logical and persuasive arguments, in fact, to back up the evidence of why we believe what we believe. Paul was bold. He reasoned, he was persuasive, and last but not least, I want us to see that he was consistent. It said that he went to the hall, and he showed up every day, daily, for 2 years. And he did this every day for 2 years. And I believe that Paul saw fruits in the second year from his year one actions. And I just want to maybe encourage some of you right now who, I know we have a lot of educators in here. We have a lot of people who work nonprofits. We have a lot of people who have friends and family they have been sharing the gospel with and praying for, and you are discouraged because you have not seen the fruit. I want to encourage you to just be consistent. Just keep showing up, because you never know the moment, the day, or the time that God is going to do something extraordinarily through you. That everybody in Asia heard the word of the Lord because Paul and his disciples showed up daily and was consistent. God uses submitted hands to accomplish his plans, and God uses competing hands to accomplish his plans. Stay with me on this one. God uses competing hands to accomplish his plan. So Paul's name is growing around town as these miracles are being done through him. And verse 13 tells us that some itinerant Jewish exorcists undertook to invoke the name of the Lord Jesus over those who had evil spirits, saying, "I adjure you by the Jesus who Paul proclaims." So keep in mind, magic, witchcraft, and sorcery are the norm here in Ephesus. And Ephesus is a city full of hustlers, everybody trying to make a profit in the marketplace. And the Bible says that some itinerant exorcists are trying to do this. Let me try to put it in 2024. The Bible says that these seven brothers are looking for some money. So instead of going and drive for Uber, they put on Craigslist or make a Facebook ad that says, "If you have a spirit that needs to be cast out, when in doubt, call us." They are traveling around trying to make money, publicizing themselves as itinerant exorcists. All right. And they have these magic books. They have these different recipes that they use to try to, cast out evil spirits. And they hear about this Jesus who Paul is proclaiming, because that's the new buzz in town. So they say, you know what? We're going to add his name to our book, to our toolbox. We're going to put the name of Jesus in our toolbox. And it said they came across an evil spirit, and they said, "We adjure you by the Jesus that Paul proclaims." Not who we proclaim, but who Paul proclaims. And the text says the evil spirit looked at these seven brothers and said, "Jesus I know, Paul I even recognize, but who are you?" Jesus said, the evil spirits recognize Jesus. "Jesus I know." James even tells us that when demons tremble at his name, and this evil spirit says, "Yeah, I know the real Jesus. I know the power of Jesus. We don't play with Jesus. And I even recognize and respect Paul because of his connection to Jesus. But who are you?" And these seven brothers used the name Jesus, and it said that the evil spirit jumped on them, mastered them, overpowered them. One man overpowered seven brothers. Now, here go with the back, Chester in the back. I am confident in the three of us taking on one man anywhere. I'm confident in my band right here taking on one man. So we got one man and seven brothers. And it said this evil spirit whooped them up so bad, they all ran out the house naked and wounded. They are trying to build a platform for themselves. They are trying to use God's name to get what they want. And I want us to see that they had the tool. They had the power of the tool in their hand, but they didn't experience any power because they wasn't connected to the power source. Have you ever been vacuuming around the house and then you went to a new room and tried to turn it on and the vacuum went turned on? So you start to power, you know, start to troubleshoot it, pressing all the buttons, and like, this old piece of crap, we need a new vacuum cleaner. And then you realize it's not plugged into the wall. Had that ever happened to y'all? Y'all can be, you know, a lot of appreciate you. That ain't happened to me, but that happened to somebody else who I live with. I ain't gonna say no names. It's nothing wrong with the tool. It's nothing wrong with the power, but it's wrong. But you aren't connected to the power source. And these men, even though they knew the name Jesus, they didn't see any power because they wasn't connected to the source. And this is what false religion is. It's saying, I'm a Christian. It's saying, yes, Jesus, I love you. It's saying, yes, I believe in you, Jesus, because I come to church on Easter Sunday and the next Sunday, or because I do all of these things. But if you do not have a relationship where you are daily walking with the Lord, you are not connected to the power. It's the difference between using God and actually knowing God. These men are here trying to use God, trying to use God to build a name for themselves, but they don't know God. And I know so many of us have even prayed those type of prayers, and we are even questioning who God is because we said, God, I have prayed for you. I have asked for this. I asked for these specific things in my life, and you were only trying to use God as a mathematic formula to get what you want in your life. And this ain't got nothing to do with the sermon, but I read this morning in our session meeting, and Michael Davis read the part where Jesus rose from the dead, and then he started talking to Peter, and he said, Peter, do you love me? Yes. Do you love me? Yes. And then he looked at Peter and said, this is how you're going to die. You're going to get old, and somebody going to carry you away, and you're going to get crucified pretty much. That's how you're going to die. And all too often, we come to church and we think that following Jesus, that God wants to bless us with a happy life now, that God wants to bless us by just giving us everything that we want when we want it. But if we actually read the Bible, Jesus actually says that the life I have for you is now. I do have blessings for you today, but the life that I'm promising you is in eternity. So don't be disappointed when trouble comes your way. In fact, trouble will come your way. But when trouble does come your way, you have a God who will shield you and protect you. And you have an everlasting hope. So these men are beat up. They run out the house naked. And the Bible says that this story went viral. Everybody in the city heard the news. It was on everybody's Instagram page. Everybody knew what happened to these seven brothers. And instead of laughing at them, the Bible says great fear fell upon everyone in Ephesus, and the name of Jesus began to be extolled. God's plan is to draw all men and women to himself through the power of his word. And I want us to see that Jesus is so great that even in man's failure, he won. Jesus is so great that even when men mess up his name and misuse his name, he can still take their mess and make something beautiful. Jesus is so great that even when the enemy showcases his power, God's power is still seen as greater. Jesus, and here we have a clear picture of the two choices that everyone in this room has to make. Choice number one, you can have submitted hands and submit and surrender your life to God to be used in a mighty way in his kingdom. Or choice number two is to live a life in competition or opposition to God and watch God accomplish his plans without you. And choice number one is to experience the joy of the Lord and live a life worth living. And choice number two is to face the humiliation and rejection of these brothers who tried to build a life without God. And all in the city heard what happened. And then verse 18, it says that many believers came confessing and indulging and divulging their practices. And the number of those who had practiced magic arts brought their books together and burnt them in the sight of all. And they counted the value of them and found it came to 50,000 pieces of silver. So the word of the Lord continued to increase and prevail mightily. Verse 19 says that many believers came and confessed their practices. This is the work of sanctification. That yes, you may have placed your faith in Christ and was eternally saved, but we all know that there is still some mess in your life that needs some cleaning up. And it says that these people heard the word of the Lord, saw the power of God, and they confessed and got rid of the mess that was still present in their life. And I want to just even take a moment to do a little bit of self-reflection in our seats. And we're going to have time for communion soon, where we can even have the opportunity to confess our sins to the Lord. But what is in your life that, yes, you are walking with Jesus, but you are trying to walk with Jesus in this. You believe in Jesus, but you don't want to submit to his rule. You believe in Jesus, but you don't want to obey his word in this area of your life. When these people saw Jesus for who he really was, it said that they came and burnt their magic books. They were in Ephesus. They were trying to worship Jesus and keep their old ways at the same time. And it said that when they truly saw Jesus for who he really was, when his word was proclaimed, these people got rid of the mess in their life. And this is why we come to the tables. We have the opportunity here at Downtown Church twice a month to come to the table to intentionally bring our mess before God and burn it. Yes, Jesus, I'm struggling with this in my life, but today I'm giving it to you. So I'm gonna pray and I'm gonna ask our elders to come up and get ready for the elements. But as I pray, I want you to also pray to yourself and ask God to search your heart. And maybe there's something that makes your heart beat a little faster right now because you don't even want to think about giving this up in your life. And I want to encourage you and say, that's probably it right now. So dear Heavenly, Holy Father and Heavenly Spirit, we thank you for the work that you do in our lives. And we thank you for even the opportunity that we have because of how merciful you are to come to you and confess our sins, and we know we will be greeted by a Father in heaven who is merciful and forgiving and is full of steadfast love. So God, as we sung before this sermon, you alone are worthy of all of our praise. I pray, Lord, that that song be a guiding principle in our life. That Jesus, we do give you our all of our obedience, all of our submission, and all of our trust. And I ask this and pray this in Jesus' name. All God's people say, amen. Please extend your hand to receive the Lord's blessing over you. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. Be blessed, Downtown Church.